I'd like to speak to our little scattered out congregation on the blessings of being the sons of God. What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful blessing and treasure it is to be the children of the Most High God. We want to notice first, 1 John 3, and the first chapter, first verse, says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's a wonderful thing the Heavenly Father would confer upon us, poor mortal people, those of us who are destined for the decay of nature and death in the tomb, that we should be called the sons of God and have life from above. We thank God for that. I thank God that we can be changed from being children of the devil, children of the world, children of the flesh, and we can be made the sons and daughters of God. I thank God for that. It said, "Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God." We are sons of God now in this present world. Yes. Dear ones, we don't need to have any other thought in our minds, but we can be. Can somebody get me some water? We can be children of God now. Praise the name of the Lord. You want this cup or you have another? Somehow my mouth and throat are dry. Thank you so much. Now are we the sons of God. And I thank the Lord. The greatest privilege that I have in this world is to be a child of God. That's a wonderful privilege. That's a wonderful golden opportunity. You talk about chance and an open door and an opportunity. It is the greatest thing that we can ever have in this life is to have the privilege to be a son or a daughter of God. I mean, reality, to be the sons that He can be confer upon us. Thank you, dear brother. Sons of God. Can you think of anything greater than that? Sons and daughters of the Most High God. That we might have His image in our hearts. Yes. That we might be like Him. Have His likeness. And have His care. And His provision. Yes. And be in His house as His children. I don't know of anything any better. Let alone being a minister or a servant or a herald or a vessel that He would use, but to be a son or daughter of God. That's enough. Praise God. So I thank the Lord for the privilege to be children of the Most High God. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We have a bright future, but we don't know just how it's going to be. But we know it's going to be good. We know it's going to be wonderful to be changed into that glorified realm of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for the privilege to be one of His little ones. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. And every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? He purifies himself. He conforms to the precious Word of God. He endeavors to line up with the truth on every line. Why? Because he loves God and he is a son of God. And he wants to be like his Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for these precious scriptures. Another one is John 1, and speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how He was, in the beginning was the Word. John 1 and 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. This light that shone from eternity to come down in human form to redeem us that we might be the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for it. This same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That light that shone in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend or did not hinder it. You have this house in darkness like it was the other morning when I came over here for prayer meeting. The breaker was thrown and it was dark, so we had prayer meeting in the dark. But praise God, we had the light. We had the true light in us. Even though it was in the dark, Sister Trudy and a couple of the Matthew boys and myself, we just had a wonderful time in the Lord. But, you know, the light from eternity, the light, Jesus Christ, the Word, the eternal Word of God. Now He comes down, and John came as a witness of that light, the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Lord wants to light every one of us up. He wants to light us up. He wants us to be luminaries. Oh, as the sons of God, I believe we have one place that speaks about that. Well, thank God. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own people, and His own people received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon His name. Praise the Lord. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we can be born. We were born our first birth. We were born of our mother and father, born of blood, born of the will of the flesh. But thank God Jesus came to give us a new birth. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be born from above, dear ones? To be a child of the King, like we sang a while ago. Oh, glory be to God. I thank the Lord that, you know, I'm just so glad that I had the privilege. I didn't realize it as much when I sought the Lord to be saved. I didn't think so much along this line. I just knew I needed to be saved. I knew I needed to give up the world, and I knew I needed to be right with God. But I wasn't realizing that when I got saved, I was to be a son of God. Didn't realize it, but now I know, and I'm learning more about it as I go along. We are happy in Him. We are blessed. We are joyful. We are confident. We are assured in our hearts that we are the children of God. We don't have any doubt about it. I don't have any doubt about it. I know that I am a child of God. Well, thank the Lord. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Oh, I thank the Lord for Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John that except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, 3 and 5, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. It's plain. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again or born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I second today. The Spirit of God is so real to us. It's more real to me than my own wife. I believe I can say that. The Spirit of God, His reality in my soul, is more real to me than my bosom companion. This is a wonderful thing to have the reality of the Spirit of the Lord in our souls. I tell you, that's a wonderful thing. To have the Spirit of the Lord just, I don't know, sometimes it's likened to an electric current. It's just somehow, and you go to the Lord in prayer or you be in a meeting somewhere and so it's just like an electric current starts charging you. Woo! Glory be to God. Dear ones, this is a wonderful thing. To be a child of God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad tonight, and I tell you, dear ones, this thing's getting better to me. The older I get, the better it gets. Yes, it is. I don't wonder how it's going to be if I live another 20 years. I want it to get better and better. A child of God. Praise the Lord. You know, you just, instead of getting older in this thing, you get younger. Yeah. You just feel so young and exuberant and just so happy and just to think about our Heavenly Father and how we are His children. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. I thank the Lord for this. I want to go now to some of Paul's writings in the 8th chapter of Romans. I believe that the Apostle Paul, he really, when he finally got straightened out about what Jesus had come to do and what he meant, I'm sure he was so joyful. But I want to notice what he says here in the 8th chapter of Romans. And he's speaking about the flesh and the spirit, and to be carnally minded is death. Verse 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal fleshly mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're going after the fleshly things of the world and the popularity and praise and the entertainments and the pleasures and the money and all of these things like so many around us are doing. We cannot please God. But it says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, you know, dear ones, we need to really take heed to our spirit. And because this is the way that the Father in heaven reveals himself. In our spirits. In our inner man. And he goes on to say now, therefore, brethren, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live, ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is what makes us the children of God. Is because we are motivated and controlled and led by His Holy Spirit. If we say we are the children of God and we do not let His Spirit lead us, we are liars. We are deceivers. We are deceived. We are only the children of God as we are led by His Spirit. You can't be a child of God if you are not willing to follow the meek and lowly Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit. The righteous Spirit. The loving, gentle Spirit. You've got to have that to be the children of God. You can't be a loud mouth, arguing, fussing, carrying on, worldly, covetous, proud, showy. You can't be that way and be a child of God. Just don't mix. Praise the Lord, we can be the children of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it says here, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption means sonship. That's what it means. We have received the spirit, our relationship with God is like that of a father and a son. And you know, dear ones, it's a wonderful thing to have a son who loves you, who will listen to you, who wants to be with you. That was the hardest thing about us deciding to come to California this time, was to inform my son. He lives in Springfield, Missouri. Our son, he was planning on coming to be with us. And I had to call him up and tell him we were going to be gone to California. That was hard. Why? Because he's my son. And he loves to be with us. He tells us quite a bit. He says, "Daddy, I'm so glad to be your son." And he says, "I'm so sorry there was a time that I didn't listen to you." Now he can't get enough of it. Because he is a son, not just in the flesh, but he has a son relationship with him in the spirit. And that is really wonderful. That is blessed. And we just pray for him in his battles and his trials. And we carry him on our hearts all the time. And the telephone listing and our listing is just over and over and over. Springfield, Missouri. It's just communication. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what makes them a children of God, is that they listen to the Spirit of God. If you don't listen to the Spirit of God, and you don't let the Spirit of God lead you, it doesn't matter how big of colors you put out, you're not a child of God. That's the truth. You're not. We have received the Spirit of sonship, a relationship with God, whereby we cry, "Abba." Now that word "Abba" is the Hebrew word for father, Abba. Father Abraham, the name Abraham means the father. Abraham, a father of a great multitude. So when it says we cry, "Abba, Father," that means we're crying, "Father in heaven." See, it's our relationship with Him. He is our Father. We're not afraid of Him. We love Him. He blesses us. He hears our prayers. He works out our problems. He supplies our needs. He blesses our souls. Oh, glory to me. Oh, dear ones, today it's wonderful to be a child of the King. Thank the Lord. And it says here, we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." There's a little like expression of that in Galatians chapter 4. It says here in the 4th verse, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Here it is again. Father. Heavenly Father. Oh, precious Heavenly Father. Precious Lord and Savior. We have this relationship with Him. And it says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord that... Let's go back to Romans 8 now and just read a little more. Oh, I praise the Lord for the precious truth. And it says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, that is such a wonderful thing to have the witness
of the Spirit. You know, nobody has to tell you, now you're a child of God now. You behave yourself. You don't have to do that. The Spirit of God makes you know that you are a child of God. And you don't have to have any doubt about it. And you don't go around telling everybody, I'm a child of God. You better listen to me. I'm a child of God. No, you don't have to do that. We have it in our souls, and it'll shine out in our life. There's something different about that person. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for this. It's just wonderful. And it says, it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, thank the Lord. Don't have to worry about inheritances from this world. The Lord would bless us that way, fine. But you know, we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God. Oh, dear ones, aren't you glad to be the sons and daughters of God? Praise the Lord. And it says here, and if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Somewhere along the way, if you're a child of God, you will be called upon to suffer with the Son of God. Suffer His reproach. Suffer His sorrow. Suffer His rejection. You will be a fellow heir of His sufferings. If you're going to be a child of God, you're going to have it. That's right. But you know what it's for? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Do you know what that's talking about? The creature was made subject, he says, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We have a hope. We're in this life, we're degraded. Our bodies are bodies of humiliation. We are subject to disease and affliction and decay and heartaches and sorrows and pain and woe and misery and all kinds of things can take hold on this body of humiliation. But we are waiting for that manifestation when He will resurrect us and change us from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad that I have a hope that one day the Lord will change this old body. That says in Philippians 3, that body, this vile body. But in the Greek, it says the body of this humiliation will be changed to be likened unto the body of His glory. Won't that be wonderful? We'll be different then. You know, I think sometimes we are so degraded and we are so vile and corrupt in our mortal state, and we are so, oh, I can't think of the word, degraded and so ugly and so misshapen And so, I don't even think we'll look like we did. It's because it'll be such a change. We're going to be changed from this old corruptible body. You might have to say, well, you don't have to take this to the one. You might have to say, well, now who were you? Oh, well, I was Brother Buzzy.
You were Brother Busby? Well, what a change you made. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be, but dear ones, to be the children of God, the Lord's going to take care of this thing. Oh, I don't know why people want to go after this old frivolous world that's going to change and decay and pass away when we have something like this so wonderful to strive for. We are waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. I know some saints of God that their bodies, by the time they come down to the end, was so altered by the decay of nature and afflictions and pain and suffering that I wouldn't want them to be anything like I see them in the casket. I wouldn't want them to be anything like that in the glory. And so therefore, dear ones, as the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in a corruptible body. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Oh, thank the Lord for being the children of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. It says that we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All nature is in a state of groaning and corruption and decay. All nature is. Yes, it is. You don't believe it? Just look around and open your eyes and see the decay of humanity. Everything in this world is corrupted. The government's corrupted. The schools are corrupted. The businesses are corrupted. The air is corrupted. The water is corrupted. Everything is in a state of decay and corruption. And it says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I wish we could get this before your minds. You, in your state right now, you're in a state of corruption. You young people don't probably realize this. I never thought a lot about it when I was young. I was young and strong and you know, felt good all the time and just had a perfect body almost, you know. You don't think about it. But you are, even now, in a state of corruption. And you are destined to decay. There are diseases that sometimes take hold of even of young people. That, just brings them down. Hodgkin's gland disease. Different diseases. I don't know all of them. But I know that just every now and then you hear something you never heard of before. We're in a state of corruption. We need the Spirit of God in our lives that will quicken these mortal bodies and quicken our infirmities and help us to live and be as God wants us to be. I pity people who all they have is the flesh and the material side of life. I pity them because they're so limited and they're so missing the best thing there is. But when we are born again and we have the Spirit of God within us, and He's leading and He's comforting and He's strengthening us and enlightening us. It's wonderful to be the children of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we're saved by hope, He says. Praise the Lord. But hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We hope. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, He says here. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I thank the Lord that as we pray, as we intercede, as we seek God, it isn't just us doing it ourselves. It's the Spirit of the Lord joining with us
And the Father says, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. His children, the Spirit of the Lord coming up with their prayers. And then the Spirit of the Lord from the Father coming back and giving a witness. Oh, glory to God. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord for the privilege to be the children of God. And if children, then we must realize that we are subject to the Father's discipline. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, we find these words. In the 5th verse, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastenings, the Lord dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards," or illegitimate children, "and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence." Did we? Most of us a lot of time didn't. Sad to say. But it's better for us to give our earthly parents reverence. It's God's will and it's God's pleasure. So that we can be subject to the Father, the Heavenly Father. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? See? You subject to the Father, your Heavenly Father. You be subject to Him. Son, I think we need to do this and so. Yes, Father. I'm right with you, Father. Whatever you want me to do. See? That's what God wants, what boys and girls, men and women to do. Mother, whatever you want me to do, we'll do that. I'm right with you, Mother. See, this is what God wants. Why? Because He knows that when you will do this in your way to your parents, He will help you to be subject to Him. It just works that way. Yes, it does. It really does. "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." The Lord wants us to be like Him. Let's notice if 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, thank the Lord. Are we children of God? 1 Peter 1 and 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." God is calling for us to be holy like Him. He doesn't want you catering to the world. Catering to its fashions and to its styles and fads. He doesn't want you doing that. He wants you to fashion yourself according to His divine pleasure. Men and women. He wants women to dress modestly, plainly, cover up their bodies. He doesn't like low-neck dresses and bearing the arms and the limbs like we see so much in the world today. He doesn't want women to cut their hair and go into parlors and frizz and fry and frill their hair. He wants you to put your hair as natural as you possibly can. He wants you to fashion yourselves as He would be pleased. You are the children of God. And He wants you to be holy. That's right. If you want to be the children of God, you've got to be holy. There's nothing wrong with being holy. It's the highest plane of life to live on. The holiness of God. He wants men
to be men. He wants you to be upright, strong, kind, and helpful. He don't want you to be a beast. No. He wants you to be loving and kind to your wife. Considerate of her. You're a child of the King. A child of God. Oh, may the Lord help us today. It is written, He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Reverence, respect, honor, devotion, worship to God. He's our Father. We want His will to be done. The highest expression of your heart should be, "Lord, Thy will be done." What I want doesn't mean anything. I want You to have Your way. And mean it with all your heart. And don't get in a hurry and get ahead of the Lord. Learn to wait on God. Let the Lord go before you. Let Him work out your life. Many, many people, sad to say, they get in a hurry. They take things in their own hands. They ruin their life. That's right. May the Lord help us that we will see the value of being the children of God, waiting on Him. We've known of sad cases in our life. Young people that started out, they had such a good promise of worthiness and value for the Lord. And they got in a hurry. They did not wait on the Lord concerning a companion. They did not seek the Lord earnestly about what He wanted them to do. And they got involved. They got tied up to where their usefulness with the Lord was very little. Yes, that's true. Want to be the children of God, Lord? I want You to have Your way. You know, young people, we stress this a lot because it's true. Start when you're young, as soon as possible. Oh, I don't know how many times I thank the Lord. I say, "Lord, I am so glad I got saved while I was young." Yes. Oh, I saved myself many sorrows, troubles, because I sought the Lord. I settled this thing before I got out into the mainstream of life. Oh, thank God. I sought Him for everything. I waited on Him. I tarried until I knew what He wanted me to do before I moved. Oh, thank God for that. But you know, I'm sad to say, I'm finding it. There's not very many young people who want to do it that way.
That's true.
It's a sad thing. It doesn't have to be. If you could just get a vision, you think, "Oh, I think I can make it." That's the trouble. You think you can make it, and you can't. You can't make it without the Lord. You just get yourself in a big, big mess. But if you just let the Lord have His way and submit to Him, oh, I'll tell you, it'll be worth everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. May the Lord help us today, enlighten our minds and our hearts, what it means to be the children of God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God," he says. "As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." This is some of the statements gleaned from the Scriptures, from the various writers, and summed up here by the Apostle as a declaration of what God wants with you and me. He wants us to be His children in heart, mind, and spirit, that He can just live in us, flow with our spirit, walk in us, talk with us, lead us, do anything He wants to do with us. And we are yielded. That's what He wants. Wherefore, He says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I want to tell you, dear ones, living a child of God's life is a strict life. You have to be scrupulous, careful, strict. I mean, you've got to be radically strict to really be a true child of God. You can't just dibble-dabble around everything that comes along and embrace every kind of spirit that comes along. Just say, you can't do that. You've got to be all or none at all. You just got to be all for the Lord. Brother Austin used to tell about, he said there was a story about a teacher that gave his students a piece of paper, and he said, first said on the one side, I want to tell you what, I want you to write what the Lord has done for you. And as you get through, he said, turn it over and now tell what the devil's done for you. So this one little boy, he started out. He filled up the front page of his paper with what the Lord had done for him and what the Lord meant to him, and he wasn't there through, so he just turned it over and started in to fill up the other side. And he got it full, and he said, got through, and he looked it over and said, now wait a minute, this ain't going to do. She's told me to put what the Lord did on this side and what the devil did. And she's liable to think the devil did all these good things for me over here. So he just put down at the end, he put a little parenthesis, he says, no, all for God and none for the devil. That's what we got to be, the children of God, all for God and none for self. All for God and none for the world. To be the children of God, I'm talking about. Just separate yourself. Come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. There's lines you've got to draw. See, no, I can't do that. No, you know. Well, come on, you don't have to be so careful. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't believe the Lord wants me to do that. You just got to make up your mind that you're going to be a child of God. You've got to be faithful and true. And then he says, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Don't you want to be a son or daughter of God? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, verse 1 of chapter 7. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. It's worth it all. You be able to sing that song, I am a child of God, without wrath and doubting, and know what you're talking about. So may the Lord help us tonight. I just felt inspired with these thoughts. God wants people. One time the people told Jesus, they said, we have one Father, even God. And over there in the 8th chapter of John. And Jesus told them, he says, ye are of your father the devil. Yeah. And the lust of your father you will do. Yeah. So. He just told them they were children of the devil. Yeah. Now, they probably didn't like that very well, but it was the truth. And one time, the Apostle Paul was having a problem with a man coming and trying to give him problems about preaching. And he says, thou child of the devil. He named him right out. He's a child of the devil. The Lord doesn't want us to stay in the kingdom of darkness, but He wants us to be the children of God.